The last book in the Bible, Revelation, is often regarded as the best place to find solid information about the end times. And it's true that Revelation provides an unveiling of the last days. However, this portion of Scripture is much more than a book about prophecy. And today, on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll reminds us that John's book begins with a performance review of seven New Testament churches. Keep this in mind as Chuck resumes our study in Revelation chapter 2. He titled his message, "The Church with Everything But the Greatest Thing."
Jesus identifies himself as the writer, or the one who dictates this letter at the end of verse 1, and he names three strengths that were true of the church at Ephesus. First, they were actively energetic. They were engaged. "I know your deeds and your toil." And then he mentions their patient endurance. He calls it perseverance. I prefer the word endurance. "I know your perseverance." In fact, look at verse 3. "You have perseverance and have endured for my name's sake and have not grown weary." Third, they were doctrinally discerning. I hope you saw that when we read through the verses earlier. He says, you cannot tolerate evil men. He goes further. "You put to the test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not. And you found them to be pseudais." Pseudais, interesting word. You put your lips together and say S. Pseudais. We get our word pseudo from it. It means liars. They look like apostles, but they're liars. And you spot that. Just because they walk around spouting verses from the Old Testament, just because they say they are prophets of God, just because they wear the garb of the evangelist, does not make them true apostles or prophets. "But I have this against you, that you have left your first love." It's too important to go over quickly. In fact, it's too important to just leave it in English. We'll go to the language in which it was written, which says, "Your love, the first, you've abandoned. You don't have the same devotion for me that you once had. Remember when we met together and often, just you and me? The tide of warm affection has turned. Oh, you work hard and you toil with vigor, but it's without love. You endure patiently. You hold up under the pressure of those around you who are idol worshipers, but you do it without love. And you find error and you point it out and you discipline, but you discipline without love." Go back to Ephesians. Let me show you something. Let's see if they've always had this problem. Ephesians 1:15. Look at this. Paul writing to them, early 60s. "For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints," so they were known for their love for one another, "do not cease to give thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers." Do not cease to give thanks while making mention of you in my prayers. They have a love for one another, and he mentions that in his prayers. Interesting. Look at the end of the letter. See how he ends it. Maybe there's some, yep, there it is. A little blessing where he says, "Peace to the brethren, love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus." Now that's God's love to them. It's a blessing placed upon him. Then he adds, "Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus with our Lord Jesus Christ with incorruptible love." It was pure. It was impressive. It was the kind of love Paul wrote about in 1 Corinthians 13, that without it, you're like a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And even though you give your body to be burned, if you don't have love, it rewards you with nothing. And even though you have all knowledge and all faith to remove mountains, says 1 Corinthians 13, if you don't have love, zilch, zero. And then he lists 15 characteristics of love. And of all things, at the end of this great treatise on love, he says, now abides faith and hope and love. But what? The greatest of these is love. This church had everything but the greatest thing. You say, well, Chuck, don't forget what they were putting up. Well, let me ask you, ladies. Let's say you've been married 25, 26, 27 years, and it's a Friday evening, and your husband worked a little later and came in tired, and your kids were gone doing a lot of different things. So it's just the two of you. You sit down to a sandwich, and your husband sighs and pulls his tie loose and says, now that we're alone, I need to tell you something. I just don't have the love for you that I had when we got married. I just don't have it anymore. Now, I'm not walking out. I'm going to keep being a good dad. I'll continue to eat at this table, and we'll sleep together, and we'll live together, and we'll go places together. We'll even vacation as a family. I'm not going to stop that. I'll make enough of a good living that we can pay our bills, and we'll buy Christmas gifts at Christmas, and we'll celebrate the holidays. We'll go to church, and we'll watch TV, and we'll watch the kids grow and graduate and leave. But I got to tell you, I just don't love you anymore. Is that okay? No. Nothing's right, is it? Nothing. It's just a series of activities to deaden the pain of an empty life. If he doesn't love you anymore. This broke the Lord's heart. We don't talk like we used to talk. We aren't intimate like we used to be intimate. Oh, I know you're busy, and I know you're putting up with a lot, and I know that you're dealing with difficult times, but I miss you. The you that I met at the cross. One of the things I love about God's word is it doesn't leave us in the enormity of our guilt. And by the way, this isn't a verse just for first century sake. I just described you. Are you? There have been times in my life when my love for the Lord grew thin. It was awful. It was dreadful. I preached. I served. I stayed married. But it wasn't like it used to be. So he says in verse 5, therefore, I want you to do something about it. Here's a course correction. Now stay with this. Get your pen. Mark, remember, repent, do the deeds. It's right there in the text. Let's fix this. Let's turn this corner. He's no longer criticizing. He's saying, let's do something about this. This is like a good counselor who says, okay, we got our finger on the problem. All right, wait. Don't walk out. Here's what's got to be done. First of all, remember from where you have fallen. Memory can often be the first step on your way back to where you were. The prodigal son in the pigsty remembered home. And his daddy. And remembering how it was, he began to turn, and it wound up at his return. At the arrest and trials of Jesus, with the Lord sitting isolated in the midst of his captors, he turns and looks at Peter, and it says, Peter remembered and wept after he had denied him 3 times. Joseph's brothers, when they remembered what they had done to their brother and came to realize they're standing in front of their brother who is now prime minister of Egypt, remembered what they had done and feared and turned. David, sitting with Nathan alone, smeared with the dirt of adultery and murder and hypocrisy, remembered when Nathan said, "You are the man," and he turned. Just remember where you started. Go there. Repent. What a great word. What a great word. The first term, remember, is a present tense. Keep on remembering. Keep on fueling your mind with reminders of how it once was. But now, in a point of time, repent. Change your mind. Turn your course. Do it now. Take responsibility. Acknowledge your part in the cooling off. The Lord hasn't moved. We've moved. And then he says, do that. Do the deeds you did at first. Go back to the beginning and repeat your life, your habits. And he adds, or else, boy, look at that. Whew. Or else, I'm coming and I'm going to remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent. What does that mean? Well, a lampstand held light, added warmth. I'm going to take your light and I'm going to turn it off. You're not going to have an impact. It's not going to be like it once was. You stay like you are, the light goes out. Many a church today with the light out, having lost its first love. Time for me to give you a statement I hope you'll never forget. I want you to write every word of it down. It is never too late to start doing what is right. It is never too late to start doing what is right. That'll save you from more heartaches than you can name. Now's the time to turn. Now's the time to remember. Now's the time to do what you once did. And then strong words of counsel come at the end. I see two things. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. First statement I would say is listen to what the Lord is saying. Take it personally. Listen to what the Lord is saying and take it personally. And then he says, to him who overcomes, I think is a synonym for repenting, for returning, for doing the deeds, I will grant to eat of the tree of life. That's a place of fellowship, which is in the paradise of God. That is all the joy. It's a picturesque scene in the apocalyptic literature of intimacy with the Almighty, of endearing and enduring love. It'll all come back. We got time for some practical advice? I think so. Here's one. Jesus knows us completely. No reason to run and hide. Hard to hide from omnipotence and omnipresence, omniscience. Jesus knows us completely. You're known. You can kid us, but you can't kid him. He knows us completely. Second, Jesus loves us unconditionally. Isn't that a great thought? Knowing all he does about us, you'd think he'd say, well, that is the end. But he doesn't. I am fed up. He doesn't do that. He still comes back to the Ephesians and says, come on. So he loves us unconditionally. So there's every reason to return and abide. Third, he rewards us abundantly. He says he'll give us this kind of fellowship that Adam and Eve knew. You'll eat the tree of life and you'll enjoy the paradise of God. You'll have a fellowship that was once rich and enriching for you as well as rewarding. He rewards us abundantly. You know what else? He calls us tenderly. You hear him? I can almost hear his voice. He calls us tenderly. Fanny Crosby wrote it back in the mid-19th century. Jesus is tenderly calling you home, calling today, calling today. Why from the sunshine of love will you roam farther and farther away? He's calling. Clarence Edward McCartney, longtime pastor of First Presbyterian Church in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, used to love to tell the story of the Scottish people who lived in the Highlands, and especially of a Highland shepherd who lived in a village and reared his little daughter, who meant the world to him. McCartney writes, he would take her with him when he went out over the moors to tend and fold the sheep. Most of all, the daughter liked to hear her father call the sheep with a shepherd's call, sounding free and beautiful down the wind and over the moors. By and by, the little girl became a beautiful young woman and went off to the great city of Edinburgh to take a job. At first, her letters came regularly every week. Then there were intervals between them that were longer, and finally, they ceased altogether. There were rumors, too, in the village and among the shepherds that the shepherd's daughter had been seen in rough company and in questionable places. One day, a lad from the village who knew her well saw her in the city and spoke to her, but she pretended she had never seen him before. When the shepherd heard this, he gathered a few things together and clad in his shepherd's smock with his plaid wrapped around his shoulders and his staff in his hand, he set out for the city to find his lost daughter. Day after day, he sought her on the avenues and in the slums, in the closes of the city, all in vain. Then he remembered how his daughter loved to hear him give the shepherd's call. Again, he took to the quest, and out of sorrow mixed with love, this time he sounded out loud and free the shepherd's call. Passers-by turned with astonishment to look on the old shepherd in his smock and with his staff as he went up and down the streets sounding the shepherd's call. At long last, in a house on one of the degraded streets of the city, his daughter, sitting in a room with her loose living companion, suddenly looked up with astonishment. There was no doubt about it. It was her father's voice. It was the shepherd's call. Flinging wide the door, she rushed upon the street, and there was her father, who took her in his arms and carried her with him to the Highland home and loved her back to decency and to God. May we bow our heads together. What a love letter written in the first century for the 21st. What a story that tells our story. He tenderly calls you home. Wouldn't you like to come to him today? Wouldn't that be the greatest thing? Wouldn't you like to come back into the love relationship that's cooled off over the years? Come today. You're surrounded by a flock of people who would love to talk with you. Most importantly, you have a Lord who's missed you and waits for you to come. Our Father, we thank you for speaking to us so directly about the Savior. Thank you for the tenderness in the midst of the reproof, so like Christ. Thank you for caring for us even when we've lost our way and never cooling in your love for us. Thank you for accepting me back when I had cooled. Thank you for putting us on a new course that brings such sense of satisfaction and fulfillment. minister deeply to our hearts today from this ancient passage about an ancient church. May the message be vibrant and real and enriching and life-changing. I ask it in the name of Jesus, our magnificent Savior. Everyone said, amen.
Chuck Swindoll referred to the church at Ephesus as the church with everything but the greatest thing. It's the first of seven churches that Jesus reviewed. And we urge you to keep listening as our study in Revelation continues. To learn more about this ministry, visit us online at insightworld.org. Well, we have a special treat in store for you today. The final moments of today's Insight for Living program are devoted to those who have young kids in the home, or those who have young grandchildren, or perhaps young nieces and nephews. For more than 20 years, Insight for Living has reached out to families with a ministry called Paws and Tails. It might be the best-kept secret among parents and grandparents. Paws and Tails is an audio drama created for little ones. In an imaginary town called Wildwood, through fun stories and creative music, the characters learn lessons about the love of God. As a wholesome audio drama, Paws and Tails is perfect for entertaining kids and for reinforcing Christian values, and it's a wonderful pre-bedtime tool as well. Recently, Chuck sat down with the creator of Paws and Tails, Dave Carl. We want to share a snippet from their conversation, and we'll follow that with a sample of what your kids are going to enjoy on Paws and Tails. Here's Chuck Swindoll and Dave Carl.
Our hope for all who dive into this wonderful world in Wildwood is that they will understand how much God loves them in any generation, the youngest all the way up to the oldest. And that is a new thought for many people who live in fear of God or in suspicion or maybe even worse, superstition. The hope is to help them know that He's there and He loves them, cares about them.
Well, as a children's pastor, I've never had a third grader ask me about the hypostatic union. Well, maybe one, but he was a different kid. The problem that most kids have is whatever movies they've watched or books they've read, God is pretty often the scariest thing in their life.
That's right.
Or something to reject entirely is untrue. And this is perhaps one of the most insidious plans of Satan, is to train our children to be afraid of a loving God who has done everything to bring us into His arms and to redeem us. Yeah. That's a terrible, dark strategy.
Yeah, and you get older, those fears intensify. Your imagination grows.
And as things go wrong in your life, you attribute that
to sure do.
A God who's angry,
right.
And yes, that can build, and you can become, the concrete can dry on that, and you will only go to God under those circumstances when you're in desperate need.
Yeah, and you go out of fear rather than knowing there's comfort and hope and grace. There's a new one.
Yeah.
But we want people to know that when they come to this wonderful series called Paws and Tails.
Look at the lake.
Whoa, turn around. You can see all the way to Wildwood.
Oh, look, a ship's leaving the bay.
The ocean looks like it just keeps going forever and ever.
I'm here, not late, present and accounted for. Right on time and not at all late.
It's okay, Goose. We're still waiting for Stacy.
Oh, boo. How can you just keep us waiting here like this? It shows a complete lack of respect for other people's time.
You were late.
Well, I think Stacy's what we need to focus on here.
You okay?
Yeah.
We've got to get out of this storm.
But where? There's nothing but trees for miles.
Get close. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we're in a bad spot here. We need your help.
Oh,
it's him! It's the grizzly!
Stacy,
get behind me.
When you're wrong, you're wrong. Learn your lesson and apply it. When you're wrong, you're wrong. You just got to humble pie it when you're wrong. And we were wrong.
So you've got a tough choice and there's nowhere to run. And you feel your heart a-pounding like a big bass drum. Well, before you're wound up tighter than a guitar string, you just say a little prayer and then you do the right thing. Do the right thing, yeah, you know you should.
We confess, He will forgive us. Give us a chance to start again. Cause if we confess, then He can bless us and cleanse our hearts within. He is faithful to forgive us.
Well, now that we've introduced you to Paws and Tails, here's how you can listen. It's quite simple to access any or all of these programs. Just go to pawsandtails.org. You can stream any or all of the audio files and information from that website. Again, it's pawsandtails.org. Tails, of course, is spelled T-A-L-E-S. Well, Paws and Tails is a ministry provided by Chuck Swindoll and Insight for Living. So what are you waiting for? Introduce your family to the fun in Wildwood by going to pawsandtails.org. I'm Bill Meyer, inviting you to join us again when Chuck Swindoll continues his study in the book of Revelation, next time on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, The Church with Everything But the Greatest Thing, was copyrighted in 2003, 2006, and 2024. And the sound recording was copyrighted in 2024 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.